T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We'll see what gives tonight. And a high fly ball is walloped to deep left field. It's a leadoff homer. Great way to start the road trip. A leadoff homer on the game's second pitch for Ronald Acuna Jr. That's his 38th. Driven toward right. Harper back. First pitch. 3-run homer, Donaldson. Josh Donaldson's 37th home run. Rain is out. The umbrella is out in Philly. It's 7-1.
It's been great. That's what it's all about. We had a really good team last year, but we got an even better team this year. And we've been proving it. These last 3 weeks have been a lot of fun to be a part of. We've been playing really good baseball. And hopefully we can keep this going for the remainder of the season, because you just got to be hot going into it.
Yeah, you want to be hot going into the playoffs. Freddie Freeman talking about an opening win for this road trip at Philadelphia, a 7-2 victory that leaves the Atlanta Braves in kind of an odd spot in a bit of a way. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Hugh Douglas, as we wake up on this Tuesday morning, the Braves now 18-3 in their last 21 games, continuing their mastery of the Phillies, of the Mets, of Washington, of all of these teams, are just domination of this division.
Yeah. Josh Donaldson, the bringer of rain, hit one last night. Good thing he brought that umbrella in Philadelphia, because I saw last night where they were actually throwing water on him. I don't know if that was like, you know, a prop or whatever, but being in Philadelphia is always best to be, you know,
right
on the safe side, on the safe side when it comes to things like that. But yeah, man, you know, you're talking about a team right now that I don't think that they're even looking at taking their foot off the gas pedal. You know, I think that they're looking at it like, you know, from what Freddie Freeman said last night, they want to keep this momentum going because it's good right now. It's a great momentum for them. And, you know, you're talking about Dansby Swanson coming back, and looks like he's starting to round into form right now. And Ronald Acuna looks like he's coming out of his slump. That's what you want. You want guys that are going to peak at the right time. You know, it's that old thing with rest versus rust. And, you know, you talk about how the Braves right now, you know, they'll have everything wrapped up, and so you take your foot off the gas pedal. I don't think they're looking at it that way. I think they're looking at that in the sense that, you know, we want to keep it going. We want to so that we can roll all the way through through this thing.
Yeah, the Braves have been so dominant, and especially in this last stretch here, the 18-3. Look at the pitchers that they've beaten here. They've beaten Ryu, DeGrom, Strasburg, Corbin. They just beat Aaron Nola. I mean, they are beating the aces, and
got
even
to
Bryce,
Aaron Nola, yeah, quick. Yeah. Two, they got to him quick, fast.
Yeah, 6 hits and 4 runs in 2 innings. Well, second pitch of the game. This is Brian Snicker after the game talking about how the Braves are taking on the best in the National League and beating them.
It's been a rough go here. Like, when you look down and you see all that, those names that you just said, man, those are tough rides, because those are some of the best in the business, and we've done a really good job against them.
Yeah, you have. I'm almost pinching myself as a Braves fan that we're sitting here on September the 10th, you talking about debating things like, well, will the Braves win 100 games? And legitimately talking about whether or not the Braves are going to get to 100 wins. I didn't see this coming.
No, nobody saw it coming. I just think back to the beginning of the season. And you know what's the irony for me is this, that the game that the Falcons had the other day, mm-hmm. and how people were talking about, oh, a 16 season and da da da, all of this other stuff, probably are the same people that when the Braves went to Philadelphia the first at the beginning of the season and got swept, probably the same folks that was doing that. Oh my gosh, this team sucks. Brian Snicker needs to go. Liberty Media, da 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 da.
Right.
Overreactors. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. That's what we do as fans. And now here we are. And optimism and hope springs eternal. And everybody's talking about how, you know, they're going out buying their new Braves swag, getting ready for the playoffs. Same cats that overreacted to the beginning of the season are probably the main ones that's buying the most swag. You got to let it play out.
Peter Moylan tweets out yesterday. Peter Moylan, of course, former player and Braves reporter. It's time for the league to pay attention to the Braves. I don't know, Peter, that they're going to do that. They haven't paid attention. There are times you can go on ESPN, you can't find a mention of the Braves, which is fine by me, I guess. You're just going to lurk in the shadows. Nobody wants to pay any attention to you. You know, I that's fine. I mean, the Braves, the way they're playing, whew. I mean, they actually asked the other day, the ESPN said, who's going to be the tougher out in the playoffs, the Braves or the Nationals? And that was their big headline. I'm like, what? Are you watching what's going on?
Nobody watches the Braves like we watch the Braves, John. And I have always been in the mindset, this is when my player's mentality kicks in. You make people pay attention to you. You don't throw your hand up and scream and talk about look at me or cry woe is me. You go out and you do things to make people respect you. It's always been that way. If you're not getting the respect that you deserve, you go out there and you put yourself in position to get that respect. I think that the Braves have done a great job of doing that. And if they're not getting the respect now, they'll get it in the playoffs. That's how you should look at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way that they're approaching it. They're not worried about what anybody else is saying or not saying about them. Just go out there and play.
To your point, Hugh, about rest and rust, because it's such a good one. A lot of ways to be part of the program, as you know. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Phone line's always open at 404-741-0929. On the Twitter, at 929TheGame, at BigHugh53, at John Fricke, if you want to be on our Twitters. Rest versus rust. How do you manage these last seven? Look, this thing is over. Okay, it just is. Washington didn't play last night. Braves are 9.5 games ahead of Washington. Okay, we all understand that this is over. What do you have to play for? 100 wins if you care about it. Braves would have to go 11-7. The number one seed if you care about that. Or do you want to stay, as you said, sharp here and not get rusty and play to the wire? But at the same time, you're going to have Ender coming back. You may have Markakis coming back by the weekend. Do you start to sub guys
sharp
in?
Sharp as attack. I want to be sharp as attack. I want to get all of my guys that I'm going to need, all of my soldiers, if you will, whatever you want to call them, my capos, whatever. I want everybody ready to roll. That's how I would want to play this. I don't know how this is going to play out. I'm not worried about 100 wins. 100 wins would be nice. But would you rather have 100 wins or a World Series win? I mean, that's how you have to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put yourself – I understand you want to put yourself in the best possible position that you can be in. The way you do that, you got 17 games left. You play lights out all the way through, and everything will fall into place. Everything that you're talking about will fall into place. But I want to be sharp. My main focus right now would be to be sharp going into the playoffs.
You know, these guys that the Braves brought up that have all done this job over the course of the season, whether it were, you know, the guys that filled in. I mean, Austin Riley was the first of a litany of guys, and then it was Adam Duvall, and you had Billy Hamilton chipping in, and you had, you know, all these guys coming up, Hecheverria or Ortega. Of all of them, Matt Joyce lately has been really good, so good that you want to get Nick Markakis a chance here to try to win that right field job back and that spot in the lineup, because he's such a veteran. He's so good for you. But you also don't want to, as you said, Hugh, you don't want to lose that edge that Matt Joyce has right now, because I'm okay with the idea of, you know, subbing out Duvall or maybe even Riley if you can find a swing here down the stretch with Ortega. But, boy, Matt Joyce has been so good. I don't want him to go to the bench and get cold or anything. I want to play to the wire, like you said.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. You know, I've been in both scenarios. I've been in scenarios where, you know, you had a chance to rest and it didn't work out for us. I've been in those scenarios where, you know, you played through it. It didn't work out for us. But I would rather be sharp as a tack going into it as opposed to you know, having that extra rest or whatever, because I think it takes a little bit off. I really do, because I remember being in games where we did rest, and for the first quarter maybe it felt like I was just a little off, like something was not right. So I want to play through it.
404-741-0929. We go to Mike at Sandy Springs. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm having awesome.
Good today. So something that I think's been overlooked a little bit, I haven't seen it on Twitter or, you know, really anywhere. The Braves are on track to have three players with 40 home runs.
Correct.
That hasn't been done since 97 with the Rockies. The Braves haven't done that since 73. And from what I can tell, this will be the fourth team in MLB history that will have done that.
Right. You're going to have somebody who's talking about, you know, MVP votes here. You know, when Acuna hit that home run last night, somebody tweeted at me MVP, and I thought, well, okay, but he may not even be the highest ranking Brave in the MVP. It may go, you know, I don't know that a Brave will win it, because you'll have, you know, Yelich and in front of him, and of course Bellinger. So maybe Freddie finishes third and Acuna finishes fourth and Josh Donaldson finishes like seventh or eighth. I mean, you could have three Braves in the top eight of the MVP. And he's right, Mike and Sandy Springs. It hasn't been done since 1973. Sadly, I remember that 1973 team, okay? Yeah, okay, all right, your old guy. Darrell Evans, Davey Johnson, Hank Aaron all hit 40 home runs. And we were out there trying to hit home runs like the Braves because they had the big three bats. And some people said to you, back then, they moved the fences in 8 feet or something at Fulton County Stadium because they were trying to pad Hank Aaron's stats or whatever. But whatever the reason was, that 73 team. But, these three guys, Hugh, they're all going to finish in the top 7-8 in MVP voting and rightfully so, because any other year, Josh Donaldson, the defense that he's played, the home runs that he hit, he is your clear MVP.
I was about to say something about him, and I know they were talking about him on the broadcast last night. Brian Jordan was talking about him, saying that, he feels that he's going to be the guy that hits the most home runs this season. It's amazing how things change. And I go back to the beginning of the season when a lot of people were complaining about the fact that Josh Donaldson was making the money that he was making, and people thought that they overpaid for him. And Josh Donaldson, calmly pointed out that he has the back of a rookie card that's pretty, with some pretty impressive stats. He's been pretty impressive for the Braves. And he's been more than what the Braves could possibly ask for. And I think he's been a godsend as far as like that leader in the locker room that they've needed. I think he's been a godsend as far as the swagger. I think he's the one that gave the team the swagger that's going to probably put them over the top.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson has been great, so great that Freddie Freeman even acknowledges yesterday about his impact on this team.
It's actually been big. I've had the right-hander pitching be left in for me because Josh is behind me, so it's given me an opportunity to have more opportunities for damage because usually lefties come in, I'm just trying to hit a base hit the left. So that's the biggest thing for me with Josh. It just creates more opportunities for damage for me.
Damage!
Yeah, damage is a good thing.
Damage! Destruction, terror, and mayhem. Yeah, that's what I thought about when he said that. I thought about the LL Cool J lyric, his verse, and Mama said, knock you out. That was pretty awesome.
Well, the Braves have been knocking out all these starts. We went through the list. We're talking about how you manage the last 17 games of the season if you're the Braves in a situation where
– play them out.
It's over. I mean, they're 9.5 games up. This thing is over. Josh in Lithia Springs is on with John and Hugh. Hey,
play them out, Debo.
Morning, guys.
What's going on?
Not much. I'm in agreement with both of you. We should play them out. This is the first year our offense is a legit contender to outplay another offense if our pitchers have a bad night. Play them out so the offense stays ready to go.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, man. Listen, we are in a position right now. We're in rarefied air because I remember going into this season, nobody really thought the Braves were going to be that good. Everybody thought they were going to take a back seat. They didn't make a whole lot of moves in the offseason. Everybody talked about this war chest that they saved up and didn't do anything with as far as pitching is concerned. They went out and they took care of that late in the season. They did that. And now they're in a position at the end. Keep it going. Keep this train rolling. And on top of that, a lot of stuff that nobody's really talking about, you didn't mortgage your future. You got better, and you did not mortgage your future. That's huge. That's huge when you're talking about this team and some of the issues that we thought we were going to potentially have. We don't have those issues. And you still got these young guys that you're talking about Paches and guys like that. That's probably going to come back up. Paches hasn't been up, but he's going to come up and he might be a contributor. So you got a lot of guys still. You didn't give up anybody that you were counting on for the future in order to make your team better.
Yeah, this is why I think that when we start talking about MVPs or, Soroka being up for the Cy Young or Rookie of the Year, Snicker up for Manager of the Year and all these postseason awards, which are nice. I mean, come on, they are nice. They don't really matter, to the team thing in the long run. You want to win the World Series. But when it comes to these things, Alex Anthopoulos is the Executive of the Year by a country mile.
And how about them not giving up on Fulton Evans when everybody else is about to give up on him? That's our guy. Who was it? It was a toss-up between him and who did they get rid of during the course of the season? Can't even think of the guy's name. The other pitcher that they got rid of a little bit earlier.
Kevin Gausman?
Gausman. Thank you very much, John Fricky. We were talking about him and Gausman. What happened? What happened? And they made their decision. They made the right one. They made the right one. As far as last night is concerned, and in the month of August, it looks like Fulton is the guy that we thought he could be. There you go. Mama said knock you out. Don't call it a comeback.
There are people on Twitter, by the way, saying that the Red Sox, after getting rid of Dave Dombrowski, should do everything they can to get Alex Anthopoulos. If I'm the Braves, I am doing whatever it takes to keep Alex Anthopoulos. That is not going to – no. You got to keep AA around here. Not going to happen. Braves knocking on the doors of 100 wins. Unbelievable. What do you think about the last 17 games and more? John and Hugh on the Morning Show, now at CBS Sports Minute.
Listen to this crowd. It's over. The Raiders have earned their first win. And I tell
Jacobs
you
Jacobs and Gruden with a bump out on the field.
The Oakland Raiders' last ever opening game in Oakland. Next year, their opening game will be in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I saw some renders of the stadium.
Uh-huh.
Where I saw the build-out, like where they were doing the 100 years of the NFL, and they showed at Las Vegas. Looks pretty nice. Looks like it's going to be nice. And the draft is in Vegas next year. Well, at the end of the year. It's in Vegas. Pretty awesome.
Raiders beat the Broncos last night, 24-16 in the late Monday night game. The early Monday night game went to the as Will Lutz became the first kicker in Isles for 20 years or so to make two field goals in the final minute of a game. The former Georgia State star hit a 58-yarder to win it at the buzzer. Career long for Will Lutz.
No timeouts for anybody here, so this kick will come off here. Will Lutz, spot and holder down. The kick is up. It's good! It's good! 58 yards, Will Lutz with the game winner! Saints win it, 30-28!
Too much excitement for the first game of the season, though. I don't want this much excitement.
Yeah, I hope you don't have any more excitement. That would be a good thing. Saints beat the Texas. Texas gagged that so bad. Oh, my God, did they gag that. But anyway, they win, and so there's that. Man, Falcons game behind, but of course that's our own doing.
Everybody behind. The only one that won a game this weekend was the Saints.
I know.
One game. It's just one game there, John freaking. You're already up in your feelings. Just one game.
For the Falcons, there's one note here. The Malik Jackson of the Eagles is injured. He's got a foot injury, and he's going to be out for the game. So the Falcons are going to lose Chris Lindstrom for this game. And, of course, for the Falcons, they're going to lose him for half a season. But not having Malik Jackson, how does that change anything for the Eagles' defensive line there, Hugh?
Oh, you know, next man up, same thing with us. You know, and I think when they said Chris Lindstrom, he's on IR, so he might be done for the year.
Oh, true.
He might be done for the year. So, yeah, next man up mentality.
Yeah, so Malik Jackson out for the Philadelphia Eagles. And for the Falcons, you know, Jamon Brown moving over from the left to the right side. You still have a veteran. That's what we were talking about earlier about why this offseason was so important to go out and get Carpenter and Brown, the two veterans who have been lots of starts between them, and you're not having to be, you know, forcing a rookie or an untested player into that spot with Lindstrom's injury. Just a couple of notes in the NFL, but this morning we've been talking a lot about the Atlanta Braves, too, because they won again last night. So one of the big stories, if not the big story in town at the moment, is, you know, the Braves, number one seed on the line. Could they get to 100 wins? But more about the fact that right now you're kind of in an interesting spot. They start this road trip. They have been so dominant in beating, what did we list? Ryu, DeGrom, I mean, they didn't beat Scherzer the other day, but they beat Strasburg. They beat Nola. They beat Corbin. They beat all these frontline starters, Hugh, in this 18-3 run that they've run away with the division. I mean, they have run away and hidden. It's over. I mean, yeah, it's not mathematically over, but the Phillies are 15 games behind. The Mets are 16 games behind.
Yeah, so that means, like, I guess I didn't look at the standing, but it had three out of the wild card or whatever it is for the Phillies. But still, you can't think that way. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and as a fan, you can think that way. But I think at this team right now, they're just trying to finish strong, man. I mean, that's the biggest thing. They want to go through this thing strong and go into this playoffs strong as possible. So I'm all for, you know, not getting any rest and just going into it hot. Just going to it hot.
And we're asking you as well, you know, on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line, on our Twitter at 929TheGame, and on the phone lines, you know, how do you manage the last 17 games with Ender coming back? It could be Nick Markakis coming back. You know, how do you handle the rotation? And Hugh's question about, you know, how do you rest people versus rust and make sure you play through the wire? Kev's in Oakwood. Hey, Kev.
Hey, John, Hugh, thank you very much for taking my call. I love you guys. Love the show. Every morning in my True Green truck, I say keep the pedal to the metal. Hammer them down. Be aggressive. Make the other teams adjust to us going into the playoffs. Fear the Braves. Fear us. Ooh-ah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you want to?
I'm not mad at that.
No, I'm not mad at that
either.
I'm
not mad at that. Hey, dude. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. You have to have that kind of mentality. I don't think anybody would have fathomed that we would be in the position that we're in now. You got to seize it. You have to seize it. And I can hear fans already complaining if we decide or Brian Snicker decides to rest his team. They're already going to be playing. That's the problem. Da-da-da-da-da. Can't do it. Mm-hmm. Can't do it. This team is hot. You've won nothing. Like second season, possibly winning the division twice back-to-back. Go for it. Pedal to the metal.
You can eliminate, mathematically, you've already eliminated the Marlins. You did a long time ago. And as you start ticking off teams, you can eliminate the Mets today, eliminate the Phillies today. I mean, you can eliminate them. And then, of course, the Nationals are just a product of time before they're out. And, do you want to get to 100 wins? I mean, again, that we're even talking about that. What do the Braves have to do to get to 100 wins? They have to go at 11-7. That's it. And they're playing some teams down the stretch like the Giants and the Royals for whatever reason at the end of the year. DJ and Austell with John and Hugh. Hey, DJ.
Hey, guys. I'm excited. I got a two-part question. I'm going to start with the Braves, of course. I want to say, looking at the Braves and being a longtime Braves fan, I think we have a legitimate World Series champion on our hands. I'm going to tell you why. We have three MVP candidates, the Rain Man, Acuna, and Freddie, and we have a Cy Young candidate as well, and Max Fried. So this is my question to you as far as the Braves is concerned. Then I have a question as far as the Falcons is concerned. Who do you start in the playoffs first? Would you start Keuchel or Soroka in the first game against the Dodgers?
Yeah, it's going to be one of the questions rotation.
I think early on I was going with Keuchel. I think I'm going to stay there. I think I'm going to stay with Keuchel. You know, because it's really, when you talk about free either or, it's really a toss-up. So I'm going to go with Keuchel. I'm going to stay with Keuchel.
Yeah, and his experience in the World Series and whatnot. This is the thing. This is why it's going to be a tough – one of the things that you have to do here, and it's difficult for Rick Kranitz, a pitching coach, and for the manager, Brian Snicker, as we look ahead to the Braves and the playoffs in these last 16, 17 games here of the season. And I think I said 11-7. I mean 11-6, obviously. To get to 100 wins, or 10-6, 10-7. Man, math is hard. 10-7, because he got 90 wins already. What are the three guys going to be in that opening five-game series? Let's say, just for the sake of argument, you're playing the Cardinals. You know, and the opening series, you only need three pitchers. Are you going to go with three, or are you going to go with four? And where does Mike Foltynewicz fall into this, Hugh, after what he did last night? Where does Julio Teheran fall into this?
I think Foltynewicz gives you a good problem. Because wasn't he one of the starting pitchers last year in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken? It's been a while ago. But, yeah, I think that's why they were banking on him. They were banking on him as being one of the guys. So I think that with that being said, he's going to have a leg up on anybody because they believe in him so much. And last night, when he gave you seven innings, you're going to need that. And hopefully that's just the beginning of him giving you seven innings his next outing. So, yeah, I would say that he'll probably be in the running for that one of those spots.
Yeah, so I get my math right because somebody just checked me. 10-7 to get to 100 wins. We're talking about the Braves and how you managed the last 17 games. In about 11 minutes, Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State, will join us. And we'll talk about the Panthers trying to go to 3-0. Eric in Dallas. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. While it does suck the same session with a win, I'm still living off the saltiness of their tears from earlier this year, so it doesn't faze me one bit. I want to ask you about the Braves real quick. So obviously for the wild card teams, there's still a whole lot of ball left to play, and those teams are subject to change. But assuming the playoffs started right now, and the fact that the possibility of us overtaking the Dodgers for the number one seed is still up for grabs, the three teams below us right now are the Cardinals, the Nets, and the Cubs. Dream scenario, who do we open against in the NLDS?
Well, at this point,
Chicago?
Yeah, maybe Chicago.
Chicago.
Because of the fact that, Baez is banged up. But, the one team I think, oddly, Hugh, I think I kind of want to avoid in that scenario is Washington because, You know, I mean, sometimes you get them, sometimes they get you. And with Scherzer and Strasburg, you saw what Max Scherzer could do, and he gets two starts against you, dude. That's not an easy matchup.
I'm not. Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't be worried about anybody. I mean, the way that we're playing, I would not be worried about anybody. You just got to go out there. You got to get it done. I mean, I understand. I hear what you're saying, and you're talking about the best case scenario, the easiest route to the World Series. But man, I have to think, being in the playoffs, there's no easy routes. I mean, even no matter how would you look at it, you talking about guys being hurt or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
There's no easy routes. But for me, my money, the Cubs. Line up with the Cubs.
Yeah, I have a little bit of payback for the Cardinals. For those of you who don't remember, 2012, you can go look it up. Infield fly. Everybody says, well, you wouldn't have won the game anyway. I don't know. Maybe we would have. I mean, that was that wild card game when the Braves lost to the Cardinals on a terrible call. But we didn't spend, I don't think, a whole bunch of time with, like, putting a band on the field to call out the referees. Just us. Rise up, Atlanta. Join 92.9 The Game Friday. Falcons Friday kickoff rally presented by SunTrust at Atlantic Station. Free and open to all fans. Friday kickoff rally begins at 7. It says off Tower Street, but you're not going to be able to miss it. Just go to where the people are at Atlantic Station. Special appearances by Falcons players, Freddie the Falcon, cheerleaders, and more. Full details on the Falcons Friday at Atlantic Station on our events page at 92.9thegame.com. Sean Elliott, head coach, Georgia State. Panthers trying to go to 3-0 this week and start thinking about maybe big things this year. We'll talk with him live next with John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Page in at running back. Make that Barnett. Ellington going to air it out to McCoy. Caught! Touchdown! Georgia State 40. 44 yards. Cornelius McCoy in one-on-one coverage over his right shoulder.
You know, we was down 17-20. We knew he was getting the ball back. He challenged the offense to come out and score. And we already had the momentum because we had just scored on a one-minute drive. And so we knew if we scored again, we was going to have a really good momentum. And, you know, Coach Glenn called some really good plays. And, you know, we went out and executed. And we got the momentum back. And once we got the momentum, I think it stuck with us.
Georgia State quarterback Dan Ellington talking about his 5-touchdown performance as Georgia State has scored 86 points in 2 wins so far this season, off to a 2-0 start and a chance to Hugh Douglas win their second road win against an FBS team this week as they go up to Kalamazoo to face Western Michigan. And face the Broncos out of the Mid-American Conference.
Heck
of a start. Man, yeah, heck of a start for Georgia State.
Oh, no question about that, man. I tell you, coming off of that great win that they had against Tennessee and then coming home and giving us a little bit of some heart palpitations, they were able to pull it off.
As we talked about Furman, you couldn't sleep on them because they're a very good football team, multiple national championships and whatnot. And they came in and they were ready to play, as Sean Elliott told us last week. And now here is Coach joining us this morning on the WayForward.com hotline. Morning to you, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Pretty good, Coach. Coach, I'm going to ask you, that halftime speech, can you give us a synopsis on the radio? Can you clean it up a little bit to tell us what that was like on the radio?
It wasn't much of a speech. I mean, we had found ourselves down 20-3 and crawled ourselves back into it, took a touchdown right there before the half. Terrence Dixon took it in, and you know, we had some momentum, and we just knew that we got the ball back in the second half, and we had to stay under control and calm and go back out there and continually build our confidence and do the things that we had just finished doing before we left the field. So there wasn't any rah-rah speech or anything like that. It was a nice, cool, calm halftime, and then we rolled out there and finished the deal.
Coach, I don't know, Coach. Call me crazy, but I don't see you as being calm at halftime, going down, being down like that. I don't see that. I don't see calm Coach Elliott in the locker room.
Well, it's 20-17, so it's not like we were still down 20-3. Now, had we been down 20-3, probably been a little bit different message. You know, at sometimes, at some point, I've got to hydrate, so I was in here drinking some water, you know, trying to get myself ready for the second half.
You have a chance to, we were just saying, Coach, to win a second FBS road game already this season when you go to Kalamazoo against Western Michigan. I mean, this could really put a nice little bow on what would be a tremendous start to the season.
Yeah, you know, we've had a good couple weeks, and to tell you the truth, we've got to go out there, and of course, we've got to have solid practices this week against a good Western Michigan football team. Going up there to their place, I mean, kind of a far trip for us, you know. But, yeah, certainly a good quality opponent. If we prepare well and do the things necessary that we need to do, then we have a shot to go get a win. But, you know, that's it's going to become a lot clearer as the week goes on. We just had our Monday practice, and now here we are fixing to go into a tough Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But, you know, we're thrilled to death to be sitting here where we are, 2-0. We have some confidence in this football program at the moment, and we're just going to continue to ride that ship and do the things necessary. I think we've got, like I said, we've got good leadership, and right now they're doing a great job for us.
We're talking to Coach Sean Elliott, Georgia State's head coach. Coach, great start, the best start in the history of the program for you. Coach, how do you keep the guys focused? Because, you know, getting off to that great start, I know they're getting a lot of love on campus, especially after that Tennessee game. Coach, how are you keeping the men focused?
Yeah, you know, people stroking them on the back, telling them how great they are. You know, that's where I come in. You know, I don't stroke them and tell them how great they are a lot of the times. And that keeps them grounded. You know, I get on them about a lot of the simple stuff, the locker room stuff, the pettiness with their wristbands, their armbands. You know, I try to keep what's important. And to relay that message to them each and every day. But they're handling it pretty well. You know, for us to start off 2-0, and like you just said, it is the first time Georgia State has ever been 2-0 in a football season. But this is only our 10th football season. So it's not something to, you know, go write a big story about. And they need to understand that. But we are making strides. We all see the improvement. And that's the great thing about this is we can continue to see those improvements as we move further in our football program.
Sean Elliott joining John and Hugh talking about Georgia State and Western Michigan on Saturday. That game will be on our sister station, WAOK, with the pregame at 6:30, the kick at 7. By the way, Coach Elliott, I just looked it up. Kickoff temperature in Kalamazoo this week, somewhere around 66 degrees.
66?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
it may be a chance for no sweat then on Saturday evening. I don't know. What do you think? That would be a nice thing.
I don't know, Coach. Coach, I've seen you on the sideline. You're gonna sweat because you're very animated. You're gonna sweat.
I played in a lot of places, and I think we were playing at Montana, and it was -2 degrees, and that was the actual temperature. I can't tell you where the wind chill was. And I was sweating there. So, yeah, I'm going to sweat wherever I go.
Hey, Dan Ellington, talk about his performance now as he has grown, as you've seen him develop into this quarterback who is having this kind of, I'll just say, all-conference sort of start.
I mean, he's having an incredible start. I mean, this past Saturday he threw for 362 yards. He rushed for, I believe, 86 yards, no turnovers. You know, he led our offense to six straight touchdown possessions right there. I mean, six straight. And not just six straight touchdown possessions, but seven consecutive scoring possessions. That's hard to do. It's very, very hard to do. But he just, you know, like I've always said about Dan, he loves to play the game. He's a tremendous competitor, tremendous young man to have around the football program as far as communication. And just, I just enjoy hanging out with him. I mean, he's in here, whether I'm in the evening or the morning, he's always bouncing in, stopping in, watching film, getting treatment, whatever it may be. He just exemplifies everything a college football player and a man needs to be about.
You know, we're talking to Coach Sean Elliott, coach of the Georgia State Panthers. Coach, over 500 yards of offense, 200 yards on the ground. That's a great day. But, you know, as any coach does, there's always something that you can improve on. Coach, so when you're talking to your team, what are you telling them they need to get better with?
Well, you know, we talk about starting fast and finishing strong. We came out the other night, and we didn't start as fast as we like offensively. We had a great drive going, and we had a couple of bonehead penalties. We actually had one bonehead penalty, a 15-yard personal foul penalty. When we're down there inside the red zone, we had to settle for a field goal. And then later in the game, the drive before the last, we actually could have put it away with a touchdown, I thought. And we had two consecutive penalties offensively. And we're not a big penalty team. We practice and we talk about those, but we had some unfortunate situations the other night that took us away out of scoring touchdowns, and that's something that you can't do. Good offense can't beat themselves and can't put themselves in positions to be unsuccessful, and we did that the other night with a few bonehead plays by our guys.
Well, it must be nice for you, Coach Elliott, to see, you know, the crowd and the reaction on campus and to know that you are achieving some of the things that you had envisioned, you know, going into the season and how you've captured this. Hopefully you keep that momentum going up at Waldo Stadium in Kalamazoo on Saturday. Good luck to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, our stadium, it was an electric environment. I mean, our student session was unbelievable. I looked back there, and it was packed, and they were embracing the game, and it was great to see the cheering and just everyone in general that came out. The campus is a buzz. I spent the better part of Thursday and Friday afternoon, you know, out there passing out tickets, getting everybody in. And I had never seen, you know, it was kind of like a rock concert, you know. They were passing out tickets. People were just grabbing them left and right. They're like, give me more. And that's exciting to see the pride in our students come out and to see them want to come down here and embrace our football program and join in the fun that we're having right now.
Yeah, congratulations, Coach, and tell them to stay focused. Stay focused, men.
Yeah, they hear that enough. They hear that enough. I mean, everyone talks about focus. Focus is the key. And you know that as well as I do. We certainly got to stay focused. We all do, you know, in life in general. We got to understand where we're going and what it takes to get there.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Coach. Do appreciate it. Best of luck against the Broncos.
Always good to talk to you guys. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you. Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State, as Georgia State off to a great start. They're all happy at Georgia State, about 30 miles up the road at Flowery Branch. They're pissed off. Not my words, their words. What Dan Quinn and Dirk Cutter had to say yesterday about what happened in Minnesota and where they're at as a team. We have the sound. We're playing it for you next. With Johnny New on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
I was more pissed off than I've been in a long time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.